Hey guys, before we get started today, I want to talk to you about our sponsor, Harry's. You've heard me talk about this before, harrys.com/lineup. You probably need a razor. Hopefully you have a Valentine's Day date coming up soon. Decent razor would do you some good, okay? Get a shave in there. harrys.com/lineup. Use the promo code. You're going to get their free promo kit. Razor handle, razor blade, shaving cream, everything you need, straight to the door, pay the shipping. You're going to love it. They know that. You're going to stay on. You're going to get the Harry's delivered to your door. So go to harrys.com/lineup. Sign up today. I'm telling you, you're going to love this product. I've been a Harry's guy for 4 years. Never looked back. That's all I have. It's just so easy. It's wonderful stuff. It's easy. It's well-priced. Gets delivered straight to your door. harrys.com. Don't look back. What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on in. Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast, bringing you roof construction ideas for your local arena. No, I'm kidding. Listen, I have takes on the rain delay in New Orleans. I have takes. We'll talk about that in a second. But I gotta say, Patreon right now, 555, Lineup Logic, the team is uniting. There was like a bat signal sent out over the night, and it just is unbelievable how great the crew has become. And I'm just so thankful for everybody who has jumped on board lately, just even since yesterday. Lucas, James, Graham, Richard, two Michaels, you know, adding everybody to the family. Of course, you guys know the deal. $15, you are getting the best value in NBA DFS. Shop around, do some homework, figure out what kind of quality product you need. And if you decide on, okay, yeah, I want some opinions from some people who play year round, who analyze this stuff, but I also want some analytics tools, some research. I want a community to be a part of. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Where can I get that? What's the best price to do that? And furthermore, where am I going to be a part of something where, like, if I want to talk to Sean, Ryan, Josh, the people who run it, Chris from 5x5, I want to talk to them. Are they accessible? Yes, the answer is yes. We're here. We're accessible. I mean, you know, I love Roto-Grinders, but you're not going to get log on to rotogrinders.com and just contact Notorious real quick and be like, hey, real quick, what's your opinion on Lowry tonight? Not going to happen, okay? Sorry. $15 a month, man. It's great stuff. Hey, listen, last night was a mess. And I'm going to be honest with you. If you are tilting what happened with the New Orleans Indiana game and you are upset, this opinion may not be for you, but here's a hot take. These sites don't owe you anything. I'm sorry. First of all, it's in the policies. That's bullshit. I know. I'm sorry, but it is. You signed up to play. You got to know what you're dealing with when it comes to the risks. That's true. The second thing is, and Josh was preaching about this, and it's preachy, it's soapboxy from all of us, but like, you got to manage your bankroll. If you can't absorb this loss reasonably without redepositing, you're not managing your bankroll and you're not going to be a long-term player. These are the unexpected things that happen in sports wagering. You are in sports wagering. And here's the last point about this. And by the way, if you can't handle the tilt, either you're not having fun because it's stressful, then sports wagering isn't for you. It's stressful. You put your hard work, hard-earned money out in a situation that is inherently laden with risk. There is almost a 90% chance that you fail in these contests. That's what you're signing up to do, right? Basically, have a really good chance at failing. I, you know, listen, That's an unpopular. It's rude. And you may be yelling through your speakers right now, Sean, that's bullshit, man. These sites have an obligation to their customers. Yes. Is there possibly a middle ground solution where we can find some kind of compensation and reparation so that people can continue to be active players in a situation that is completely unanticipated like this? Yeah, maybe there is. I don't know the numbers. I don't know the ratios. I don't know how payouts and everything work for them from their books. If there's a situation where they could fix it, make reparations in some way to a small percentage of what people lost, sure. But remember, they're not taking extra money off the top because this game was canceled. There's still 50 people in your 50-50 who got paid last night. Right? It's still operating the same way. The contests don't operate differently because of the game getting canceled. You just have weirder scores. It's not a popular opinion, but listen, I've been through late scratches, injuries, rain delays in baseball, you know, guys not, you know, getting pulled in the, you know, the second quarter, getting benched. These are events that happen. A structural problem with a stadium, it happened last year. We all survived it. These things are going to happen. You have to be ready for them. And you know what? You move on. It's it. That's it. You move on. Let's pick up our big boy pants and let's be okay with this. All right? Anyway, that was an annoying take, and I apologize if you don't like it, but that's my opinion. Let's go ahead and get into tonight. We got six games to talk about. Hopefully there won't be any cancellations. But let's go through injuries. Let's go through Vegas, and then we'll get into the player breakdown. All right. First game of the night in Orlando, Atlanta at Orlando. And for a while, we did not have a total in this one. Let me check to see if that has been updated. But we did not have a total in this game. Mostly, I believe, Aaron Gordon news. Still don't know what's going on with him. He has been, you know, out for the better part of 10 days right now. Okay, we've got a total now. 215 total here. Magic are favored by one at home. And that's actually not a bad number, all things considered, for this game. You know, these two teams, very poor defensively, but there are some capable scorers on each side. So, you know, we can definitely look at some of the front court, or excuse me, some of the back court options on both teams. Definitely going to have some interest in Dennis Schroeder and, you know, possibly John Simmons as well, on the wing there. You know, other than that, I'm not going to load up on these teams. It's been a complicated rotation, especially, in Atlanta. So we're looking at we're definitely looking at a couple options on both sides. I'm looking at the Magic injury report right now. Okay, yeah, Aaron Gordon out. Nikola Vucevic is questionable. He's been practicing. Vuce has been practicing, so we could expect him soon. But I don't think you're going to see him tonight. And if you see him, it's probably going to be in limited fashion. John Simmons is questionable with an ankle, which is new. If he sits, give me all the Hazonia, and possibly some Fournier too. Although Fournier, listen, this is not a good spot to attack the shooting guard against Atlanta. Ask Wayne Selden. Moving over to the Raptors, they are going to be hosting the Knicks. It's a 210 total here. The Raptors are favored by 14. Of course, the terrifying and sad news about, you know, KP, the zinger, out for the year, ACL. Hopefully he's okay. Hopefully this is not a, you know, defining injury. He can bounce back from the ACL and be all right. A bummer, though. Here's the crazy part. Not only is KP going to be out, but Enes Kanter is out. He had his stitches in his mouth that have been re-aggravated, and he had to have oral surgery to get them repaired, so he is out. Joakim Noah is away from the team because they just don't want that fucking old albatross man contract poisoning their locker room. They traded Willie Hernan Gomez. So they are thin. The Knicks are very, very thin. you are going to see a very tight rotation, plenty of Michael Beasley, plenty of Kyle O'Quinn. Honestly, you're going to see some minutes for some Knicks that you may not even want to see. You're going to see a lot of Lance Thomas. You're going to see some small lineups for this team, too, where, you know, guys like Lance Thomas is playing the five, right? Like, there's only one starting center on this team remaining, and that's Kyle O'Quinn. Unless they somehow call Joakim Noah back into the fold before the end of the day, they just don't have anyone else on the roster. So I don't know what the Knicks are going to do. I don't know if they're going to sign somebody off the practice squad. We'll find out. We'll see. But they need another big, really, is what they need. You're going to see some Doug McDermott minutes, I'm sure. You're going to see plenty of Courtney Lee. You're going to see – it's going to be a bad game. This is going to be a bad situation, and I would expect the Raptors – they could probably cover that. The Raptors could. The way that they're playing right now, absolutely. Celtics at the Wizards, 206 total in this one. Wizards are favored by 1.5. Wow. Well, makes sense. They are on a roll. 4 of the last 5, they've been playing extremely well without John Wall. And, you know, the injuries for the Celtics are an issue. Kyrie Irving is coming back, but he's going to be on a minutes restriction. Okay. So you have to keep an eye on that. Greg Monroe is going to be available to make his debut. Aaron Baines, I believe Aaron Baines will play, but I did see him go down with an ankle. It was a concussion. He made it through that concussion. I was like, I remember Aaron Baines got injured in that Toronto game, and I couldn't remember exactly what it was. He's good to go. Jaylen Brown, however, questionable with an ankle. Marcus Smart continues to be out. Shane Larkin continues to be out. This team struggled mightily without Kyrie Irving on the floor in that Toronto game. I think what Vegas is saying here is that one team is kind of floundering without a primary creator, and the other team is really, really playing well. Washington being that team. And on the Washington side of things, no injuries. You know, nothing that we are necessarily concerned about beyond the John Wall injury. And that's it. So, you know, we're good to go with the injuries on the Washington side. Moving over to Charlotte at Portland. Everything goes out west, by the way. So it's all East Coast, all West Coast. You're not going to have any Central Time Zone games here. 10 o'clock tip-off in Portland, 214 total. The Blazers are favored by 4 with the Hornets on the road. The Hornets are fine. They're healthy. The Blazers have a couple issues right now. Nothing too serious. Evan Turner's questionable with a calf injury, but you know, we were kind of over Evan Turner anyway. You're never that interested in that spot. You know, this is an interesting game. It's hard to read whether or not it could be very slow and low and under the pace and just kind of, a battle of two kind of mediocre teams that can be a little bit streaky, or Portland should be able to just kind of, take Charlotte, and control the game for a while here. But either way, you do have some nice, tight rotations that you are predictable minutes for both teams. So you get interested in teams where you have predictable rotations. You understand exactly what is going to happen. And we know exactly how the rotations are going to work for the most part, which has been the biggest thing has been in the front court for Portland. It has been pretty much a 50-50 split between Ed Davis and Jusuf Nurkić. So about 20 minutes for Ed, 25 plus for Nurk. So that is more or less what you're going to see from the front court. That has been the only thing that's really kind of fluctuated it up in the air. Now, of course, if Evan Turner can't go, you're going to get Mo Harkless. Do you want Mo Harkless? I don't know if you want Mo Harkless. I really don't. That's not somebody that I like to roster necessarily unless I have to, but he is a value that you could go to. And Dame and CJ, of course, over 30 minutes. Now, on the Charlotte side of things, you know, this team is hard to get excited about sometimes, but this is a team where the numbers or the rotations are predictable and you have some decent spots. Nick Batum revenge game. And he's been good lately. He's had over 2 over 40 in the last 5, 1 over 35. So you could go there, but you're paying a pretty price for, you know, a guy who is also has a 20-point floor. So be careful what you wish for with Nick Batum. Yeah. You know, we'll keep an eye on the Marvin Williams news. He's been questionable in and out of the lineup. But it looks like he's in on Thursday. Sorry, I didn't update that. Thunder at the Lakers. No total yet because, well, we didn't have a total. We do now. 216 total here. Thunder are favored by 3 on the road at the Lakers, which seems a little bit thin to me. And I guess that's because we have some possibility that Ross or Melo sits with ankle injuries. Now, if I'm seeing a spread that is 3, I'm guessing that Vegas is thinking one of these guys doesn't go. Vegas must know that one of these guys is not going to go. There is no way that Oklahoma City, who has blown this team out twice and just beat the Warriors, is only favored by 3, even if they're on the road. Only favored by 3 if Russell Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony and Paul George are all playing. Not a chance. So Vegas is telling us something there. They think someone is going to sit, whether it be Melo or Westbrook. Now, if either one sits, obviously it's PG. You're going to get a whole lot of run there. If Russ sits, man, Raymond Felton is a very capable, very, very capable point guard replacement. I would definitely love to have some Raymond Felton in my lineup. He is capable of handling 30 minutes, and he is a productive asset in those 30 minutes. He is not scaring me at all. If Carmelo sits, give me all the Jeremy Grant. And Patrick Patterson even is a solid asset if Carmelo sits. Those two will probably split the duties at the front court, at the 4. And frankly, Jeremy Grant is good. I mean, I've always liked his game. I think he is explosive and an interesting option here. So keep your eye on the OKC injury report, but it certainly seems like Vegas knows someone is going to sit in this one. And then Dallas at Golden State. Golden State looking for a little bit of a bounce back here. They've struggled in the last couple games. 219 total. They are favored by 12.5 at home. No surprise there. Dallas was dealing with that Harrison Barnes injury, but he is, I believe, questionable going into tonight. I think he's going to play. He's questionable. And that's all you got to really worry about on the Dallas side of things, which changes a lot. If Harrison Barnes doesn't play, it could be a tough spot for the Mavs. I mean, you're going to get a lot of good action from Wes Matthews, but they do not have a lot of high-quality offensive or defensive assets without Harrison Barnes on the floor. Of course, it'll open up some Dwight Powell because, you know, he's got to play some minutes. They just don't have that many guys in the front court. and Dwight Powell will get those developmental minutes no matter what. So we'll keep an eye on the Harrison Barnes news. Golden State, they've got a bunch of different guys who are questionable. Not the least of which is Kevin Durant, who's got a hand contusion, which means he has a bruise on his hand. Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you. This is good work by Steve Kerr. This is really, 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 really good work by Steve Kerr to take a bruised hand and make it an issue where he might sit. If Harrison Barnes sits, be clear about this. If Harrison Barnes sits, one of these Warriors is going to sit. They're going to get somebody some rest for no reason whatsoever. But the Warriors have smashed here previously against Dallas. They really have. So it's definitely a game that we would want to take advantage of, especially if KD is out. We would want to get some of those peripheral guys into our lineup. Peripheral guys. Steph Curry is a peripheral guy. Are you kidding me? That's it. 6 games. There's our injuries. There's our Vegas breakdown. Let's go ahead into the player breakdown, figure out who we love. All right. Starting at the top of the slate, you actually have a couple studs on this slate. So a lot of guys that you can definitely be interested in rostering. Russ being the primary one. If he's a good to go, if we get a probable from Russ, just try to get him in there. I think he makes a lot of good sense. He's 12-1 on FanDuel, 11-9 on DK, 51 over the last five, 1.37 fantasy points per minute in that span. His numbers are on average, okay? However, the one caution that I will give you is that he's not hit value in either one of the Laker games. Why? Well, they blow him out, really. I mean, that's the issue. Just blowouts, and he never really had to play more than 30 minutes. The tight spread seems to suggest that he is going to sit. Carmelo doesn't move a spread that much. Russ does. Russ does move the spread. So I would wonder if he's the one that Vegas anticipates sitting. If he sits, we're going Raymond Felton all in. We're going Paul George all in. He has, you know, the matchup with LA has not been insane boost to point guards, but it's been decent with Lonzo out. It's been, you can expect averages from point guards. It's not that they're not stopping anybody. So definitely a spot to keep an eye on Russ there. Steph versus Dallas, however, very interesting. Slight boost here. We had a trend earlier in the year where point guards were destroying the Mavericks because Dennis Smith Jr. was not playing good defense. Rick Carlisle has since corrected that to some degree, and it's just not quite as hot lately. So cooled off in that respect, but he and Steph's been rough. I mean, four games since he broke 40 points. Obviously, that's going to change at some point. I mean, he had 50 in both games at Dallas this year, and frankly, he's good, you know, phenomenal scorer. He's going to bust out of this slump based on his pricing. Clearly, the algorithms do not think that this is a problem for him. You know, you would see if he was in a mediocre matchup, the algorithms would have dropped his price closer to 9K just the way that he's been playing. But 9-8, 9-9 here, definitely an interesting spot to potentially play Steph, especially if Kevin Durant is out. You are going to want Steph in your lineup, the no doubt about it. Keep an eye on the hand contusion that Mr. Durant is dealing with. At the shooting guard position, the best that we have this evening is Mr. Bradley Beal. He is going to be in Boston. He's been phenomenal in Boston and lately. Honestly, like there is absolutely zero reason to doubt what he needs, what he's been doing. He's going to need to have a big game for this one to stay competitive. And Vegas likes them at home. That's a good sign. I think that Beal is a very interesting. It's a rough matchup. It's one of the worst on the slate as far as backcourt is concerned and efficiency. Boston is the worst in efficiency allowed to opposing backcourts. He's only had two games, though, since Wall has gone down with less than 1.1 fantasy points per minute. Those teams, the correlation here is interesting. Those teams, the Pacers and the Hawks, both play the shooting guard position well, something that Boston does does very well also. So you are concerned, but he did have 40 last time out, and historically he's played well against his team. He did it last year also. So definitely a situation where you could try to figure out how to fit him in, and if he fits where you're building, I think you can definitely feel comfortable with him. Even at 8,600 on both sites, I think we're getting a high floor player in an interesting situation. The fact that they are favored at home is really, really unique. Now, do you go to DeMar DeRozan in this spot? I don't know. I'm going to talk about DeMar DeRozan in 1 second. He feels a little bit more risky just because of the blowout risk there. You know, Brad Beal, if this game stays close, unless Boston blows them out somehow, this game stays close, Brad Beal's going to play like 37 minutes, right? I mean, this is important for them. They get up for this matchup. At small forward, we have Kevin Durant versus Dallas. You know, he's questionable with the hand contusion, but how serious is a bruise on a hand? 10-5 on FD, 10K on DK. You know, at that price, he can find his way into your lineup. It's not that hard. I mean, he's averaged 47 fantasy points on the season, but really averaged only 40 in the last five. He's at about 1.3 fantasy points per minute. a little bit below that. He's been, 1.3, sorry, on the season. He's been pretty average lately, 1.1 fantasy points per minute. He did have 60 here last time out, and he's shown the ceiling. I mean, twice in the last five, he's gone 53 and 67. You know it's in there. It's just a question of whether or not he actually has to get there. Like, if this team is at full strength against the Mavericks team without Harrison Barnes, how does this stay close? They're already favored by 12, right? I mean, how does this stay close if there's no Harrison Barnes out there and KD, Steph, Clay, and Draymond are all playing? I just don't necessarily see a world where this isn't, you know, a 12 to 15 point game after the third quarter. You know, I mean, they're playing poorly right now. So if you're going to project them to continue to play mediocre, fine, then it stays closer. But that means that KD plays poorly, right? So I don't necessarily know how to track them. I don't mind the price. And if he plays, I think the price is absolutely one that you could exploit in a decent matchup. But if Paul George has Carmelo out, you go to him instantly. I mean, there's no reason to pay up for Kevin Durant when you can get a similar outcome from Paul George because of the usage boost without Carmelo or Russ. So that would be what I'm saying. Power forward and center, we don't really have anybody that expensive. So let's go over to the guys who are 9K below. Now, I included Damian Lillard here just because I didn't get to talk about him in the stud. He is 9-2 versus Charlotte. You know, this is an average matchup. Really, I got to be honest with you. It's a pretty average matchup to get Charlotte on the road. Dead middle, 16th in DVP. 1.1 fantasy points per minute for Dame. He's averaged 41 over the last five. 42 over the last five. He's averaged 41 on the year. He's right on par with his averages. At this price, you need him well over 45 points. I don't know. It's not like when we had him at at 8K. When we had him at 8K, it was like, okay, yes, lock. Because you just know he's going to get you close to 40. But at 9K, it's not necessarily phenomenal. He's had a floor of about 37, though. And the ceiling is 50. Is this a ceiling spot? I don't know. It's not the highest total. But they are at home, and they are coming off a rest, which I like. You know, he's no easy going to hit the minutes. And I do think Charlotte will keep this relatively competitive. I don't see this being a blowout at all. Moving over, Kyle Lowry, 8K versus New York. He had a 35-point game, he's averaged 35 per game. Can't read. So his ceiling really, really caused the price to jump here. Remember, he was 7K on that last slate, just wonky pricing. He destroyed this team, though. He has destroyed this team this year. 44 points in both games. Can you expect 40 from him here, which is a straight 5X? Yes, you can from the matchup. This is the second best matchup on the slate. There is definitely reason to continue to love Kyle Lowry's history against this team. But here's my issue. There is zero competition coming from the New York side of things. Vegas is showing us with a double-digit spread. No Zinger. No Cantor. I have a very hard time believing that they're going to protect the rim. And I have an even more hard time believing that Dwayne Casey is going to force Lowry out there for minutes in a situation where they're destroying him. I mean, look at the minutes that he has logged recently. And the fact is, Lowry doesn't play in blowout situations. And when you see these numbers, 19 points against Memphis, Portland, 30 points. Why? He only played 25 minutes. They won those games handily. They were in control the whole time. Even in the Boston game, he had 43 across 25 minutes. Well, I mean, he was nailing the three, and that game was supposed to stay competitive, but he didn't. He blew the roof off of that game. He was the reason that it didn't stay competitive. You're not going to see him play like he did in that Washington game 35 minutes down the stretch. I just don't see a situation in which New York can stay competitive on the road. The Raptors have been phenomenal at home this year, and you love the spot on paper. You love the matchup. You don't mind the price. It's not going to kill you. My question is it will kill you if you get what happened in that Portland or that Memphis game. You know, that's my concern. It will kill you if you get 20, 7 points from Lowry because they're winning this game by double digits at halftime. That's you really have to think about this on this slate. Things are lopsided and weird. They are. They really are. There's some lopsided matchups. So not necessarily a game that I trust to be competitive. Dennis Schroeder, however, this game should be relatively close. You know, Atlanta is going to be in Orlando. This is our best spot, according to Chris's Fantasy 5x5 best spots chart. And the Big Monster will show this as a phenomenal spot as well. The floor is here. The matchup is the best on the slate from the point guard position. The price is reasonable. He had 45 and 35 against this team. He's averaged 33 over the year, 19, 3, and 6. Very consistent in the last five, almost exactly those numbers. So we know he's playing at the right level. We know that the matchup is great. We know the price is reasonable. I mean, there's a lot of things to like about Dennis Schroeder. You know, this is right kind of where he needs to be. At 7,500, that's perfectly fine. In this matchup, you'll take it. So he's a guy that you just kind of say, okay, good. Yep, I'll take it. And then you think about the rest of it. You know, you work on it some other way to fit others in because you feel comfortable with the floor that he provides you. It's projectable, right? This is projectable. I talked a little bit about DeMar earlier. 84 on FanDuel, 85 on DK. There is no one to stop him at the rim. He's going to be able to get to the rim. In fact, if there's somebody who has a game here, I do think it could be DeMar. He's had 40. I don't know. He had 40 here last time. The price is not nice, though. Like, you still want to play. If you're going to invest in an 8K Raptor, I mean, you play Kyle Lowry. Right? You play Kyle Lowry. It's been very consistent, though, on a night-to-night basis. DeMar has 37 to 39 lately. There's a ceiling. There's a ceiling, but it's not in this game. He doesn't have to play 35 minutes. We saw the same, I'm telling you, the same thing with Dwayne Quay. Dwayne Casey's not going to force these guys out there to a situation where they have this game under control. The minutes trends have just shown that. I think he's a GPP play. He's a nice pivot off of Beal. But if you had to pick, if I had to pick, I'm probably playing Beal, even though the matchup isn't as good, just because I know that game is going to be competitive, and he's at home. Well, I mean, DeMar's at home, too, but I know that game is going to be competitive, right? So, there's a path to greater minutes, if that makes sense, right? THJ versus Toronto. He averages 36 without Zinger on the floor, and he is going to be the offense for the foreseeable future. I mean, he has not had an explosive game recently, but if you want to attack one spot on this team, it is definitely the two guard. He's been rough. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. He has been rough of late. He has not been very offensively minded, but averaging about 30 minutes. Struggled against, you know, struggled mightily against Boston, struggled against Atlanta. What do those games have in common? Again, good wing defense. They have, well, one definitely good wing defender, the shooting guard, not allowing a lot of production to that spot. I can't explain to you why he had 39 points against the Jazz, but I do know he is a relatively streaky scorer, capable of putting up 30. Earlier this year against Toronto, he missed both of those games. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He did not miss both of those games. Toronto, he had 28, and then he had 59. In one game. Wow, I have completely missed that. But that was in November. Fresh legs in November. Hard to read too much into that. Before the injury, he had 39 real-life points in that game. But that's definitely a spot that you want to exploit the shooting guard. So THJ very much in play. He is 6,400 on FanDuel. And where is he? 6,400 on DK, sorry, 6K on FanDuel. Apologies there. Moving over, Kent Bazemore versus Orlando catches my eye. The way that he's played lately, also the Orlando is the second best matchup on the slate for the shooting guard. So I like it. I mean, he has a brutal floor, though. I mean, you're talking about an 11-point floor from this kid. But he has, you know, you don't really see floor games from shooting guards against Orlando. They've been the worst in backcourt efficiency allowed. So certainly a spot that we can exploit. He's averaged about 27 points. He showed a really interesting range against Orlando. He had 22 in one game and 45 in another. That's what you're getting with Kent Bazemore, which is to say you don't know what you're getting. You pray for 27, and if he gets you 40, you're going to win some money, right? But if he doesn't get you 27, he might get you 17. And you go, Kent Bazemore, you are dead to me. Because he can get cold and he just will stop shooting because he's not a consistent source of offense for this team. Now, I will say the one concern, the real concern that I have, and I keep, I feel like this whole podcast is just like, this is what I'm worried about. This is kind of how you approach this slate, and none of it has to do with roofs. He doesn't always get 30 minutes. Why? Why? Anywhere between 18 to 31 in the last six games. He's 18 minutes. Why are you playing Kent Bazemore 18 minutes? Like Budenholzer, what is going on? I expect 25. I expect him to play well. But if he does not, if he gets somehow dinged with his minutes, you're going to be killing yourself paying $6,400 for Kent Bazemore, which, by the way, is too expensive. Honestly, it's too expensive, but you're thin at the shooting guard position. I guess I could talk myself into Courtney Lee at 51. That's an interesting spot. You know, he's going to get a usage bump without Cantor, Zinger on the floor. They're going to need him to score. He'll get more shot opportunities. So he's definitely someone I think you could play. And of course, Wes Matthews without Harrison Barnes. Very interesting as well. Moving over to the small forward position, you got to talk about PG. He has been on an absolute heater, unbelievable of late. He's pricey, but he's still not priced up enough, especially if we get Russ or Carmelo out. Without Carmelo, he averages 42 on the floor. So you're going to want him in there. He's twice over 40 against this team. You know, he once only scored 20, but that was a blowout. Sat out after 25 minutes. And he has been on a heater, man. Three of the last six, he's been over 50 points. The nice thing about investing in Paul George's ceiling. Relatively good floor. Again, you know, solid matchup, pace-up situation against LA. Good matchup, potential usage bump without one of those guys on the floor. But you have access to a ceiling that is unique at 8,600. There is not a lot of players with a 60-point ceiling on this slate. And those players are Russ, Steph, KD, and you're paying over 9K. You're paying nearly 10K for them. Paul George is a guy that you can pay for ceiling. And you get a ceiling and you don't have to pay for it necessarily. So a projectable ceiling, like a real, like this could very well happen. Not like an accidental Kent Bazemore ceiling. You know what I mean? I also don't mind the guys in Orlando, John Simmons and Mario Hezonja. Now, if Simmons sits, then it's Hezonja, obviously. But if Simmons is, like, probable good to go today, if we get a good report on him, then you're going to probably want him. It's the best matchup for the three on the slate. The issue is that Simmons' minutes have varied between 25 to 35. He's definitely going to get 25 minutes. But remember, in that Cavs game, you had a pace-up situation, you had the worst defense on the slate, you had a career high in scoring, and you had Simmons at a very, very cheap price tag. All those things are different. This is a great matchup, but his price is up. He's probably not going to play 35 minutes. He's a little bit banged up, so it's not an apples-to-apples comparison. You can't necessarily go, dang, John Simmons, how'd you score 40 last time? And this time, you only scored 25. Well, most of the season, he's averaged 22. So you're paying 5'8 for a guy who has a ceiling, but he sort of has an accidental ceiling because of a perfect storm. Be careful what you wish for there. I'm hopeful he sits and we get Mario Hezonja cheap. I'd much rather play a cheap Hezonja than an expensive Simmons. You know what I'm saying? I could get into some Michael Beasley, and I think everybody will be into some Michael Beasley tonight. It is Beasley time. It is the Beasles hour. Beasley is going to get out there and make some money. He's going to go play 30 minutes a night with Kristaps out. There's no one else to score. Hornacek has no reason not to let Beasley just score, score, score. They don't have developmental prospects on this team. They got rid of Hernan Gomez. There is nothing young on this team that needs to get run to practice. Doug McDermott is not that guy. You know, it's not Doug McDermott. It's Frank Ntilikina. That's it. That's the only developmental prospect that they have on this team that they are going to need to run in tank mode. So Beasley's going to get as much run as he can handle here. Usage goes through the roof without Zinger. He's averaged 29 without him on the floor. A ton of minutes. He's shown a ridiculous ceiling without Kristaps, though. He's had some rough games. He's had some average-ish games, but he's shown like a 50. He's gone over 50 in a couple spots without Kristaps on the floor. So, like, you got to get him. This guy can score. He can just get buckets. And Toronto is not a good matchup at the three. It's just not. But he's going to be really highly owned. He's going to play 30 minutes. You know the usage is there. The price is very reasonable. So I think Beasley's is in a great spot. Draymond versus Dallas is interesting to me. Power forward, poor defensive front court. He's at 37 and 40 here, especially if KD is out. You get plenty of rebounding upside. I think if somebody goes down on the Warriors, you're going to want some Draymond in your lineup. Now, other than him, there's some interesting spots to go to, okay? Let's talk a little bit about this. I don't mind Markieff Morris at 6,300 at home. He's been getting plenty of run. He's averaged about 28, 29 in the last five games. He's been, well, about a fantasy point per minute. He's going to be in a competitive game here. I think you absolutely want to go to him as a secondary piece to Brad Beal in a competitive spot. If no Harrison Barnes, then Dwight Powell, okay? Definitely Dwight Powell. He is a guy that we're going to want to have. He's 5'5", 4'5", on DK, which is just someone's not paying attention. Definitely going to want him there. And that's it, really. I mean, maybe some Ersan. Maybe some Ersan. I like the price for Ilyasova here. 4-5 for a guy who pretty consistently is going to get you about 20-plus fantasy points. Orlando's defense not that good. I mean, he definitely could get you 25, and at this price, it's not that big of a deal. You know, 25 minutes from Ersan, you know, not a bad spot at all. Yeah, the power forward's rough, which is part of the reason why I said I like Draymond. There's not a lot here. There's not a lot here, I got to be honest with you. At the center position, I am very interested in Jonas Valanciunas. Obviously, Kyle Quinn is the value center of the night. Everybody's going to play him. He's going to be a great option. Yes. But I think it's a very interesting pivot over to Valanciunas against him because there is no one to play against him in the front court. Jonas is 6,600. He has a massive ceiling. Okay. You know, he did tweak his ankle, so they could be treating him lightly. Like they only played him 20 minutes against the Celtics. He's been playing about 24 lately, but like the man has an insane ceiling for 24 minutes. You know, we know that he has been consistently well over 1.4 fantasy points per minute in his best outings. So he is a guy that I can get into as a bit of a pivot play. That is it. I think, honestly, the play is just Kyle O'Quinn. The whole world is going to play Kyle O'Quinn, and I don't think you really have to be that different because he's literally the only person that is going to be there to play center for the Knicks, and he's 4K. There's no reason not to play him. The whole world is going to do it, so just do it. Just do it, dude. Everybody's doing it. All right, bargain basement. Let's go ahead down below 5.5K on FanDuel. Usually, guys, of course, those prices are slightly cheaper on DraftKings, which is why I use the FanDuel pricing. I use the FanDuel positions because FanDuel positions are more strict. They're harder to get around than the DraftKings positions, which is why I use those. So if you're a FanDuel player, it makes more sense. At the point guard position, you know, I don't mind, by the way, I don't mind Dennis Smith and Terry Rozier at 6,500. If one of those guys falls to you, you take a big jump off of a cliff here and go down to J.J. Barea, Fred VanVleet, and Tomas Satoransky. Satoransky has a bad matchup, but his price took a dip, okay? 4,700 for this guy who's going to probably play 25 minutes. That's not that bad. That's not that bad. You know, you could definitely do worse, and you definitely would do worse if you tried to play Tim Frazier, who just isn't that good. I think Jarrett Jack is in play by default. Not a great matchup for the point guard, but there's really not any reason to think that he won't play a ton of minutes, except for that maybe they want to do, you know, developmental stuff with Nil Aquina, who is min price and should start to see the floor. Like, we're going to start to see Nil Aquina because you're in developmental mode. There's zero reason that Nil Aquina should not play 25 minutes a night here on out. Just get that kid as much run as you can. The season is over. Let him play. That's it. You know, there's no reason not to do it that way. You're not saving anybody. DeLon Wright, maybe. DeLon Wright is interesting, especially if you get these extra bench run. He is going to be the primary point guard again on the bench here, off the bench for them. Van Vliet, same thing. You're taking a calculated risk about a blowout there at Toronto, so it's a tournament play only. But that's it. We don't have a lot of injuries to be concerned about, so that's about it. At the shooting guard position, KCP, I guess, but the ceiling is 25 and the floor is 14. I guess you could play him. Abrines, and I wish I knew, guys, I wish I could tell you who's going to be playing shooting guard in OKC, but it's been basically Abrines and Ferguson's going halvesies here. You know, 25 minutes, 15 fantasy points. There's not a lot to like there, you know, except for the price. Wes Matthews is going to be an interesting spot. This slate is a little bit ugly. I'm going to be honest with you. There's some ugliness happening here for sure. Courtney Lee, though, is the one guy. Sorry, I forgot to mention. Courtney Lee is the one guy that I would be comfortable with. Probably 30 minutes for Courtney Lee, who actually does a little bit of the point guard for the Knicks when they need him. And you know, without KP on the floor, he's going to have to do a little bit more scoring. So he is priced to, you know, hit value, basically. That's where you're at with him. At the small forward, I said Hezonja for sure. If Simmons can't go, 5,400, he is absolutely interesting. Jason Tatum has now been moved over to small forward. Thank you, little baby Jesus. This is not a bad spot either. Washington is definitely a spot that you can exploit at the small forward. I'm okay with him here. His price is very reasonable. He should be able to get some good run. I mentioned the injury in Portland. Mo Harkless could be in play if you have absolutely no Evan Turner, but that's the only scenario which I'm playing him. Iguodala would be in play if KD sits, so that's something to consider. Power forward, Dwight Powell, yes. Jeremy Grant, if no Melo. John Collins, no. I don't trust him yet. I like the kid because he can dunk, but I don't trust him yet. No. That's it. There's a lot. It's really hard to find good, trustworthy guys down here. I guess you could go to Marcus Morris, but 4,900 for mediocre minutes and usage, I don't really know if I feel good about that. Patrick Peterson, definitely in play as well if we get a situation with no Melo. So keep an eye on that. Ed Davis could also get extra run because of the center situation against Dwight Howard. So if you want to project that, that's fine. But you could also end up with 18 minutes and 11 fantasy points. So be careful. Center is thin. Center is really thin. It's Kyle O'Quinn. Speaking of Kyle O'Quinn, let's go over to FanDuel, build a lineup. Okay, Kyle O'Quinn, he's in my lineup. I want Kyle O'Quinn. I want Michael Beasley. Let's just start there. Okay, let's start with those two because that's the chalk, and it's not necessarily bad chalk. I am interested in Brad Beal, tight spread at home. I'm going to put him in there as a placeholder. Let's see. I am interested in Paul George, thinking maybe one of these guys sits. We'll find out. At point guard, I'm going to go high-low, I think. Oh, no, I'm going to go Dennis Schroeder, and then I'm going to hold off, and I'm going to wait for my second point guard, although I don't necessarily know that I want to go below 6,500, so we'll keep an eye on that. I'm not really sure if I'm going to do that, go below that. Power forward, probably a spot where I'm going to spend, I'm going to spend down a little bit. I'm going to try to spend down a little bit. I might go to Dwight Powell here and Markieff Morris. God, this slate is ugly. Oh, my God. This whole lineup is just terrible. This slate is just gross. Let's go THJ, and then I have another 7K point guard, and I'm not even really excited about this. Whew, man. Like, guys, I don't know. I don't know about this. Let's go Courtney Lee, and then I can get to Kyle Lowry. So, I mean, this is a balanced version. It's attacking the, the Knicks usage issues. We have to wait for some news. This is kind of balanced, but, like, this slate is ugly. This slate is very, very ugly, the more and more that you look at it. Dennis Schroeder, Kyle Lowry, Brad Beal, Courtney Lee, Michael Beasley, Paul George, Dwight Powell, Markieff Morris, Kyle O'Quinn. News dependent. Wait for news. Figure out what's going on. Guys, good luck in your contest. We're going to talk to you later. Hey, no leaky roofs. Manage your bankroll. Manage your bankroll.